stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Len, if you could do the roll call for us.
Yes, sir. Trustee Davis?
Present.
Trustee Doherty is absent. Trustee Dye?
Here.
Trustee Freckleton?
Here.
Trustee Holness?
Here.
Trustee Howard?
Here.
Trustee Lloyd?
Here.
Trustee Lubai?
Here.
Any public participation today?
No requests.
Great. Okay, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Anybody have an item they want to pull off? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Consent agenda passes. Dr. Labasso, over to you.
Thank you. We had a great event. It was an honor and privilege to accept the J. Hyatt Brown Award at the Chamber annual dinner since our last meeting. And again, kudos to the entire Daytona State College team and Board of Trustees because you're all part of that recognition. So, great job. It was a great event. Well done by the Chamber. We are a sponsor of the Alliance 4 event, and we obviously hadn't done one since the pandemic started, and we did get one off the ground a few weeks ago with CareerSource. A little different version of how it's been done before, and if you're not familiar with the Alliance 4, it brings business and industry, education, K-12 higher ed together, and CareerSource together to talk about the different needs of business and industry, get us around the table together and make sure we're offering what business and industry needs. So a lot of times out of those conversations, we're making, enhancements to our programs or adding a program and whatnot. So it was good to get that back. Had a meeting with the vice mayor in Deltona just to update them and the city manager, deputy city manager, to just talk a little bit about the progress of the building in Deltona, and I will be presenting to the commission the PowerPoint that you all saw last month in March 7th. So, and you're all welcome to come if you'd like.
It's a Monday night at 6:30.
Yeah, Monday night 6:30. So I'll be to present the progress on the. They're excited. That's certainly going to be very impactful building in the city. And they're excited about bringing nursing, machining, and possibly other vocational programs out there. We got a last minute call on Monday. Mike and Linda Kerb were in town, and so we had the privilege. And thank you, Dr. Howard, for joining us on quick notice to have breakfast with them, and we were able to bring them to the ATC. Where, as you recall, he created an endowment for the School of Emergency Services after his dad's name. He had never been there, so we got to tour him that. And so thanks to the team for getting that together and taking care of that part of the day. So they were just thrilled with the programs out at the ATC, and also brought them to the News Journal Center to show them what's happening there as well. So we've been busy. I think I mentioned last time that we had made the next phase of the Aspen Prize Award. So we did have our interview, and I thought it went very well, and we'll wait and see what happens from that.
What's the next? Is there another next level down before they get to the winners, or is?
I'm going to look at Amy.
If we make the next round, I think they would come for a visit.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So we're it's nice to obviously be in the top 150, and we estimate that making this round put us about the top 40 in the country to make this round. So we'll see where we go from there. And also, our SGA president, Adrian Tolles Williams, was selected as the Florida College System Association Student Government Division Student of the Month in January. So I don't know if she's here. There she is. and saw her yesterday at our Black History Month celebration in the Landing, and she's just going to do great things. And then the Residence Hall update, you know, we got to walk it and see where we are on the physical part where we are on applications. So we offered two options, the full academic year lease or a fall-only option. You know, not knowing this is our first, you know, we didn't want to just offer the one. Obviously, priority is going to go to the fall-spring. That way we don't have empty beds possibly in the spring. So for the fall-spring term, we have 400 applications. And remember, we only have 252 beds. If you add the fall-only, it's 504 total applications that we have. So obviously it's meeting our expectations, exceeding our expectations, frankly, and we're excited. Offers have gone out. We're receiving deposits as we speak, and a good chance by the end of March we will be full. So, you know, really months ahead of where I might be anticipating. So it's good. We're excited. Campus is really excited about this new phase in our evolution to have students on campus. And Charisse Ramos, where are you still here? Charisse is leading the way. We're excited. She's excited. It's, you know, we hired a new resident coordinator who had some experience. I think I mentioned from she's a Palm Coast High School graduate. So she's the only one of the crew in the room that actually has done the job. So, we, you know, Charisse and I have been kind of, you know, winging it. But we've been doing pretty well with it. And the whole team. It's, you know, a whole team of us getting it ready. So, but it's exciting, you know, the prospect of programming. Summer, a lot of summer interest already for camps. Talked to Dr. Locklear about, you know, when you think of camps, it obviously sports comes to mind, a little basketball camp, soccer camp, but we're an academic institution, so I think there's just as much opportunity to do a academic camps in a variety of our disciplines, to do overnights and things like that. I think there's a decent demand for that, so we'll hopefully start to have some conversations and think about some academic camps we can do overnights that bring, you know, a population in on campus for a, you know, 4 or 5 night camp. So now Dr. Locklear didn't say she was going to sleep in the dorm with them, but we're working on that.
you'll keep track of that as a separate line item so that it makes a case for the efficiency and all that, because obviously we're going to be moving quickly to expand the availability, I would think.
Yeah, we're going to track. You know, there's a performance model that's up against each semester, so this would be above and beyond the regular residents that may reside in there. So, yeah, we'll track all of that. That will be all part of our analysis and decision-making process in terms of a phase two down the road. Yeah. And that's it for my update, if anyone has any questions. But it's been active and busy. And the student center next door, I mean, I'm there almost every day for lunch. And it's hopping. We've got our gaming, our ping pong tables are out again, and our foosball tables are out again, and the gaming is coming out. And the students are back taking full advantage of it. So it's nice to see. And that concludes my report.
Everything's still moving okay, legislative request wise, or any?
Yes, thank you. So far, so good. You know, we've had some inquiries from the governor's office on some of our projects, and we've responded accordingly. I think all of our projects, last I noticed, were all still in play. So we should know soon on where we land. So we're looking pretty good there.
Great. All right. We'll move on to facilities.
Good afternoon, everyone. Our first item that we have is our new master plan. We do this master plan every 5 years, and we are actually a year behind due to COVID kind of throwing a monkey wrench in it. So we're excited to get the master planning process restarted. We had five very talented architects submit for the RFQ on this one. We shortlisted three, which was DLR, Spiesel, and Hunt and Brady. Spiesel Architects came out in the number one spot, and so we're asking the board to approve us to move forward with negotiations with them for the master plan.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Any questions? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously.
Okay, and the next one is just a correction from the last board meeting. We you approved some HERF funds that would be going forward for HVAC. There was one line item that had a mathematical error on it, and so this is an adjustment, and it is an adjustment up, but it's the same services and scope that was approved at the last one.
Make a motion.
Second.
Questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
Marty.
And just as a reminder, the board will at some point get pulled in the master planning process as a you know, we'll have a workshop and give you a little bit of background and get some input on our direction as we move forward.
Okay. Good afternoon. Today we're going to take a look at the financial report through January 31st, 7 months through the fiscal year. So that's just over 58%. If we take a first look at our revenue budget versus actual, you can see that we've received now $21.7 million or 79% of our tuition and fee revenue, $25.8 million or 49% of our state revenue. I think I mentioned last meeting that the state revenue lags behind a little bit because of our lottery appropriations. They don't start coming to us until the month of February this month. So you'll see that ramp up as we get through the remaining months of the year. We received $3.7 million, or 59% of our other revenues, and then the full $1.9 million of our board-approved transfers. So in total, we've now received $53.1 million, or 60% of our $88.5 million operational budget. Flipping over to the expense side, you can see we've now expended $33.3 million, or 49% of our personnel budget. We have obligated $14.5 million, or 75% of the current expense budget. Of that $14.5 million, we got $10.5 million in actual expenditures and another $4 million in encumbrances. We've expended or obligated $803,000 of our capital outlay budget. That's 42% of the budget. Of that, $439,000 spent and another $364,000 tied to open purchase orders. So in total, we've obligated $48.6 million, or 55% of our total operational budget. If you remove the encumbrances, the bottom piece there, we've expended almost exactly half of the current operational budget. So pretty good standing. You know, like I said, we're 58% through the year. Last quarter, you typically see expenditures kind of die down a little bit, just the nature of the of what we have going as we wind down the fiscal year. A lot of the purchase orders have already been open and encumbered, so they're already reflected in our encumbrances. So I think we're in pretty good shape as we wind down the year. This is a snapshot we show each meeting of our beginning fund balance. So it's, you know, the bottom is our beginning fund balance, $14.9 million. Underneath it are the components that make up that $14.9 million, so that's stationary each month. And then at the bottom, the net projected fund balance is what moves slightly depending on the year-to-date revenues and expenses. So our projected fund balance through the date of this report, January 31st, is the just over $14 million. Okay, taking a look at our budget versus actual year over year. On our revenue side, you can see we're fairly consistent with last year, 59% of our revenue received, and last year at this time, 62% of the revenue. Here's our three-year analysis of our tuition and fee revenue. You can see very similar to last month when I reported, we're down in in-state tuition year to date about 4.9%. Spring semester has bounced back a little bit. I think as of today, we're down about 2% in fee paying. Spring B semester starts March 21st, I believe. And so we still have some time to hopefully recuperate a little bit more. You can see in total there, $21.7 million brought in so far. That's down about 5.5% compared to the prior year. So we're getting there, but keep in mind we're still using the federal stimulus funds to recover any lost revenue that's realized each semester. So we'll do that again in the spring and make those calculations. Okay, here's our expense side, budget to actual year over year. Again, fairly consistent, 49% of our personnel budget realized versus 48% at the same time last year, 75% of current expenses versus 68% last year, and then 42% of our capital outlay versus 50% last year at this time. Moving over to our Fund 7 Capital Project Fund. Again, this is our show this each meeting. It's our major funding sources in Fund 7. Kind of the recap, we started the year with $45.4 million. We received an additional $5.4 million. And we've obligated $7.9 million at this time. Of that, $6.9 million is expended, and another million has been encumbered. So our net fund balance, as of the date of this report, January 31st, is $42.8 million. And of that, $18.3 million has been committed to date, and the other $24.4 million is uncommitted and available for projects. Moving on to the projects that are in progress. Again, no change from the last board meeting. It's the same eight projects. I think there was a couple where we extended the completion date out a little bit based on our new estimates. The eight projects consist of $33.7 million estimated cost, and we'll continue to monitor throughout the end of the fiscal year. That concludes the financial report, unless there's any questions or comments.
Marty, still on track to spend all the HERF by the extension date at least?
We have the extension in the works. The institutional piece is we have quite a bit to spend still, but we think, if we are granted the 12-month no-cost extension, we should be able to spend down quite a bit of that money. So I think we're in good shape there. The student portion is essentially going to be expended through the first part of the summer. Yeah. The last item I have here, we show it's informational each month. It's all payments over $50,000, so this is for the month of January. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. And the provost and enrollment are doing so good that we don't even have to hear from them today.
That's right.
So, Tom, constituent heads?
Yeah. Okay. And we're going to lead off with our Student Government Association President, Adrian Tolles-Williams.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So the first time I stood before you all and introduced myself, it was August of 2021, and there was still a lot I had to learn about leadership and about the role I was stepping into. Since then, I have found inspiration, purpose, and immense gratification in the opportunities and perspectives that being in this position has enabled me to have. This spring, the student government has been busy looking for creative and innovative ways to enhance the student experience and to emulate the values of Daytona State College. And although February seems to have flown by, I am pleased to report that we have used this time wisely. On the screen, I just have the objectives that I presented to you guys at the last board meeting, and then just a little bit of what I want to review today. Beginning with February, on the 10th, we had our FCS SGA Region 3 Leadership Conference. We traveled to Melbourne, Florida, where we were able to interact with a lot of the different college SGAs in the Eastern Florida region. We were able to observe different leadership styles, explore our own leadership styles, and we did a multitude of different activities that allowed us to explore ourselves, reflect on others, and build our leadership skills while also seeing how other colleges are handling their bounce back from COVID. Our Valentine's Day Cards for Veterans campaign, which was spearheaded by our New Smyrna Beach Vice President Austin Pauly, we saw over 30 cards raised for Daytona State veterans, which is incredible since it was the first of a few of our all-campus projects as we work to try and include more of the students in the projects we have this year. For Black History Month, we have quite a bit going on, one of which is our music deep dive, where we are presenting boards on each campus for students to be able to share their favorite music by Black musicians. And then next Monday, we'll be collecting it and compiling a Black History playlist made by students for students, which has so far had a lot of student interest. So I am excited to see what we get back from our branch campuses as well. It's easy to replicate as well. So hopefully this can be something that we continue throughout the semester as we're trying to keep that community, that sense of community between our branch campuses. We also participated and collaborated with Student Life in planning a discussion for Black History in response to the SB 1108 Senate bill. This discussion was on celebrating Black history and encouraging students to have those tough discussions and be able to provide them with a forum where they can come forward with their ideas and their beliefs and communicate in a healthy and constructive way. There was a lot of very good student feedback. The student participation was a bit low as this was the first time we were doing this event, but I believe it is a very great indication for the amount of participation we will have going forward for future debates. And then we are also hosting a pizza and poetry tomorrow in the Landing from 11 to 1. Just like our other events, we've had a lot of student interest, so I think we'll have plenty of amazing poems for everyone to hear. And I actually wrote one myself that I'd like to share with you guys once I wrap up the report. In addition to everything else we've done this month, we had an opportunity to sit on a committee to allocate funds for the proposals of the student activity carryover fees, and it was a great opportunity for myself and for the board to be able to provide feedback and input on decisions that will not only affect current students at Daytona State, but future students and the future of the college. And that includes things like the OWL meeting camera, a network drop for the college campus to help with outdoor events and the connection out there outdoors, as well as some stuff for the Center for Women and Men, like Falcon Fuel snacks and materials and so on. Going forward, next Tuesday, we will be co-hosting a relationships and dating violence talk. It will be during our normal meeting times, Tuesdays at 3 p.m. It'll be downstairs in Building 115, from 3 p.m. to 4, and we are opening it up to different students. That way we will be able to give a platform for students to have these types of discussions and learn about these things to hopefully apply in their lives or for people they know that might be dealing with related circumstances. Safe Spring Break will be coming up just before, so we'll be working with Student Life to try and collaborate and provide as much help as we can. And then after Spring Break, for Women's History Month, we will be having a discussion, again, much like what we did for Black History Day, to discuss gender equality, which I think will present lots of fruitful discussion points, and so I'm really excited to do that, especially with the success of our first event. Academic Advising Week will be coming up as well, as we're trying to interact with more students and create a multimodal platform for students to be able to come and ask questions, especially in the beginning of the B term when we have new students coming in for the second half of the semester. And just trying to connect with students and tell them a bit more about SGA, what we can do on campus, and what we do on campus. And then other than that, we're always thinking of more fun events so students can enjoy themselves while they're here. So we're planning another ping pong tournament. We have our Color Wars event, which has been long waiting, but the anticipation will be worth it. So I am looking forward to sharing all of those with you. Beyond that, we are also recruiting for our elections for the 2022-2023 board. The voting dates are set for April 12th and 13th. So far as we're doing more stuff on campus, we are seeing more student interest and more getting more questions about like what we do, who we are, and the like. And so I believe that we'll have a good turnout in terms of candidates, but those are numbers that we'll only see growing as time goes on and as we're more interactive with students. And then we're also looking to recruit some high school students and work with admissions to kind of go out there and connect with students who maybe don't have a clear plan for their future yet and try and sway them to the Falcon side. Beyond that, this was just a little infographic I wanted to create for you guys based on an activity we did at the FCS SGA Leadership Conference. With all the things I've been learning about leadership and being a leader and being a role model, there are so many things that I wasn't expecting to have to deal with, and they're lessons that you learn by doing and by putting them into action. And sometimes they work out and sometimes they don't, but when they don't, being able to reflect and to grow and to keep pushing forward. And so all of this, I believe, is just the tip of the iceberg in what it means to be a leader and what SGA has been teaching us this semester. And then I just wanted to wrap up with a Nelson Mandela quote that says, "Education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world." And I just wanted to share that with you all because I've always aspired to be able to make a meaningful and impactful change in my community. And I believe that being in student government and being surrounded by so many supportive people, whether they be students or faculty or trustees, I feel like I'm in a position to be able to make a positive change in the world. And I am looking forward to sharing more about how SGA does that in the future. So that concludes my report.
Wait a minute. We want to hear your poem.
Yeah. So this is called Boundless Forests. Often, I find myself dreaming of forests that overflow with life. Vast woods where the trees stand like monoliths against the sky, each branch diverging and twisting without limits. Their histories are all kept neatly beneath the bark. Their roots dig so deeply into the earth, I think, if I dig deep enough, I'll find roots in its core. Roots that delve deeper through time and its beauty and shame, giving love and culture despite hate and ignorance, reduced to property and poverty, but surviving. In this dream, I am a branch, reaching to the sky, thinking one day I might catch the sun. Connected beneath the bark to the ongoing anthology of my lineage, I am the ever-evolving, ever-loving, ever-growing, ever-thriving legacy of a line of resilience. And I stand as one of many in a boundless forest of greatness. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Adrian.
Do your SGA bylaws allow you to run again?
I've already tried.
Our term limits are 2 full academic years, but as I am planning on graduating in the fall, I have decided to not pursue another term as the president, but I will be involved with SGA as the historian, so I can still play a role in keeping the board organized and making sure that a very detailed record is kept of the great things that SGA does.
Okay.
I have grilled her for on her what her plans are and whether we could actually keep her here for a few more years and baccalaureate degrees, but I think she's going to pursue. Why don't you let the group know what your plans are? USF, I think, right?
UCF.
UCF.
Go Knights.
Right.
But go Falcons for now. So I'm studying political science. I want to focus on national security with aims of going to Georgetown Law after getting my bachelor's. I want to eventually work in humanitarian policy and foreign policy, trying to do grassroots movements to help developing countries around the world.
You need her now.
Ooh. Yeah.
We need you now.
Thank you. I was thinking with of our. Home, I was thinking. I
was, maybe it was an English major, actually.
Well, I know. I mean, I could listen to her talk for hours, frankly. But you know, and I'm thinking of our employers around the table, going, you know, make sure you get her contact information before she goes. Thank you so much. All right, and for professional counsel, we have Billy Joe Dunaway. Not last.
That's just not fair. okay, well, professional counsel is going to have our first meeting tomorrow, during which time we're looking forward to forming a couple new committees to work on some projects that we want to put into place. So having to do with fundraising and working with the Center for Women and Men. I think you all had a presentation today on the Falcon Nest that they've developed. We're going to have a similar presentation tomorrow as well. So what a great step forward they're making for our students. So we wanted to highlight that. We're, of course, going to keep highlighting professionals in our Spotlight Awards because I believe that professionals need to be spotlighted. We're doing some good work here. And that's basically my report for today.
Thank you.
Put me after Adrian on purpose. I think that was his plan.
All right. We have Dr. Liz Barnes presenting for Paul Capps, Faculty Senate.
Yes. So, yep, my name's Liz Barnes. I have the pleasure of serving as our Faculty Senate Vice President, and I'm here on behalf of Professor Capps because he is literally teaching a math class as we speak. So today, I have the honor of introducing the Senate's featured faculty member. Her name is Catherine Allman, and she's a full-time assistant professor in the School of World Languages and Speech. She teaches American Sign Language, all the levels, 1 through 4, and serves as an advisor for the American Sign Language Club. Her teaching experience spans 21 years, with 15 years as a teacher for the deaf and hard of hearing in Volusia County. Catherine is a nationally certified ASL interpreter, part-time in the community. She also enjoys mentoring other professionals and has previously served as an interpreter evaluator for the state of Florida. She was the faculty fellow in innovation here at DSC for the fall 2021 semester, and she would like to share some of that experience with you all now. Come on up.
Thank you, Dr. Barnes, and I also want to thank Paul Capps for inviting me to speak to you today. I wanted to share a bit about my experience as a faculty fellow in innovation, mostly in the Faculty Innovation Center, working with the instructional designers there. So what we approached was to improve our ASL 1, which is level 1, online course. This is a fully online course. And American Sign Language has been taught here at DSC for more than 20 years. We've had a presence first in the health building, and we had a 2-year interpreting program. This was before my days here. But we have been going strong from that point till now. And even in that amount of time, we've never had a fully online version of ASL, which is interesting since we are a visual language. We work in the seeing and moving hands, so it's a visual modality. But we really had to reimagine this when COVID happened, as we all had to do in our jobs. So some of that technology that we added to this course is what you're going to see here. So this was instructional resources collaboration with Kevin and his team. And after I got over the initial shock of being in front of the camera and the spotlights, which was an adventure. I was able to record myself as the instructor with different stimuluses. So stimuli for the students. Typically, our face-to-face or hybrid classes, we are interacting. We typically all have a fully immersive instructional approach. So students are learning ASL and watching ASL from their teacher from day one. And in a fully online format, it's difficult to replicate that and to give the students that language that they're seeing for a significant amount of time. We've had video dictionaries as part of our course shell for a long time, but really it was not engaging the students in a way where we wanted them to practice those skills. So that was, this is a quick shot of me in a video. We used what was called interactive video. We filmed it in the studio, and then we added, they helped add animations like the arrow you see and different things for teaching purposes when I was trying to exemplify a new topic. A video assignment was something that is part of the D2L and FOL course. We have that option through the third party Bongo. So they have video assignments available. And this one was new to me as it was called question answer. And I could record myself. That's me in the box there. I could record myself signing, "How are you?" And the student is on video answering. So it's like an on the spot, but they're at home. And we could do that in class very easily. So we're replicating this in an online environment. And they cannot redo the assignment. They can't start over. So they don't see the questions ahead of time. And it really helped us create a more reliable assessment. And we use rubrics with this. There's also a peer review option so they can see other students in their classes too. In addition to the video that we created with instructional resources, we added H5P, which is a tool for educators to add engaging content like questions to a video. This is only one of many options you can create with H5P, and you can see the boxes that pop up. It says type the subject and the age. So they would watch me. This is not a video itself, but they would click the play button and watch me sign, and then they would answer the question. Some of them, they're marking answers in English to pinpoint grammar and syntactical structures we want them to look at. Other times they're just selecting from two options like the one at the top. So this gives students instant feedback, and it really helped with the engagement with the course and the engagement with the curriculum, students actually responding, because there's only so much time you're going to watch a video dictionary before that becomes old hat, and they say, well, what else can I do with this information? And it's difficult when you don't have your surrounding peers around you, because in those courses, we are interacting and we're practicing the entire instructional time, practicing those skills with each other and partners and groups, the teacher prompting students. So we tried to create that with some of these technological features we already had, but also adding something new. And it's very important to us in our department to continue the more than 20-year tradition of providing American Sign Language. We have service learning at our level 3, and we are providing a lot of support to the deaf community, and that's really the purpose of our courses. Yes, we're meeting AA requirements, and I love that American Sign Language is on that level with spoken languages. Some colleges do not recognize ASL yet, and they are misinformed, as ASL is its own independent language. But our most important goal is really to support the deaf community that we have in this area, and we're doing that. Whether our students pursue careers in ASL or not, they have had sensitivity training and diversity training related to the deaf community and American Sign Language, and that's what's important to us. So I was really happy to be able to create a more engaging and interactive course for fully online students, so they can get those benefits just like our face-to-face students. Thank you very much for letting me speak to you today.
Thank you.
Okay, we have John Penny for our Career Employees Association.
Good morning and afternoon. I have no slides. This is my second week as president of the CEA. We've rebuilt our leadership after it's been down for a few years, and we're excited to get going. We've just today chosen our student award recipients. They'll be notified early next week. We have been already talking about fundraisers coming up that we could start again. We have another meeting we're going to get together next week to plan out meeting dates for the association so we can invite the rest of the employees to come and join with us now. We're pretty excited about getting it going again. We have a lot of ideas, and we just need some time to be able to sit down together and start planning it out.
Thank you.
Thank you. And there is no report for Administrative Council. So that concludes constituent
report. Great. Thank you. And I think I'll mix it up this time and let the vice chair go first.
Okay. Thank you. Today was such an exciting day to preview the Falcom Nest. I think we're all very excited about the potential that it offers to our students. And Adrian, I'm always looking forward to hearing what the students are doing here. It's good to hear that they are so involved, and your input is very important to us. I noticed that Lonnie Thompson is leaving, and I just want to personally acknowledge, you know that I serve on the ACCT Diversity and Equity Inclusion on the National Committee, and Lonnie has been very helpful in helping me to share with other community colleges as to what we do here. So. I wish him well and let him know that he has made a difference. Thank you.
Thank you. Gary, I'm going to make sure you don't go last this time.
How about that? Yeah, to kind of build on what Betty was just talking about, I got to thinking about all the different things over the last probably, I know at least over these last 7 or 8 years in particular, where we have tried very diligently to remove obstacles for our students, whether that's food, clothing, shelter, and now child care as well. And, you know, so that they can still fulfill that objective of getting their degree and really, in many cases, making a transformational change in their families, you know, towards economic prosperity. And you think about all the things, and we've still got more work to do, of course, we always do. But it's something I think that for us to be very proud of, and Tom and your leadership team and your leadership itself, it's a great day to be a Falcon when you see those things happening. So go Falcons.
Thank you. Bob?
So I've got to scoot out of here pretty quickly here to go to another meeting, but I would just second what Gary said. His comments are spot on. That it's exciting, and when you think about the mission of this institution and breaking down those barriers to make sure that everybody has a shot to participate, it's fantastic. And the only thing I would say is I wish I was attending the foundation gala tonight, but unfortunately it's gotten pushed, but we'll continue to support our foundation and look forward to having that event. And I just thought it was coincidental that we had our meeting today, and it was originally scheduled for tonight. So anyway, go Falcons.
I was just reading the mission statement, Daytona College, and to me, everything in that mission statement, Tom, you and your folks have enhanced or try to follow. And it's wonderful. Every month that I come here, I find incredible things that this college has been doing. And it's really about you and your staff that implement all these things inside here that helps the students. And it's just amazing. And I look forward every month to coming and seeing what new adventures we have coming in and how you plan to overcome obstacles and do the things that we're supposed to do. So again, great work, you and your staff. Thank you so much.
And?
Go Falcons!
A real trend.
Well, I think I really enjoy the way that we spend some of the workshop time. I think it's terrific, it's informative, it gives us a different perspective. You know, in some ways, more material to go out and promote the institution. And I think this last one, you know, we've all been through so much of COVID and the things, the process, procedure, and it kind of became somewhat sterile, the environment. I just, you know, this one shows not only the character of the institution, but the compassion of the institution. And I think so many times we get wrapped up in in process and we forget the people. And so this institution seems to remember the people. And this was another great example of it today. I love Falcon's Nest. So today it'll be Go Falcon's Nest.
Thank you, Bob.
Well, I think everything else has been said before me, but I would like to congratulate the old guy next to me for his son and his accomplishments this past weekend. Let's give him a big round of applause. And of course, this young lady highlights my whole being here. You say it all. Thank you.
Great. Yeah, everybody, I couldn't agree more with the comment. It's great to come here and see all the people working so hard to fulfill that mission statement, like Lloyd said, in so many different ways. So I appreciate all that. And, you know, on the student side, I really enjoyed hearing how much you're trying to get students engaged and also the notion of the branch campuses. I feel like that's something that's hard to do. We have branch campuses, too, so I know how hard it is to do that. And I really appreciate the fact that you've realized that Daytona State is not just the campus here, but it's everywhere. So kudos to you and your leadership team for that.
One more last remark. Be careful when you walk out. There's a Mercer on each side of the room.
So with that, I will adjourn the meeting and look forward to seeing everybody next time.